The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 136 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. I almost said Sunday for some reason. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, it's been a couple weeks. Yep. I don't know if I remember how to do this.
Well, I was going to say, it shouldn't affect the equality none. So we're already off to a fabulous start after a couple of weeks off. As you would expect. We'll be talking over each other, Bumbling around. So a normal show.
Yep. Like I warned James before we started recording, my wife's going to be coming home in the middle of the podcast. The dog is on high alert. The people above me in the apartment are making a ton of noise. So should be plenty of interruptions. Should be fun, like normal.
Yep, that's how we roll, man. It's good. What have you been up to during the break? It's been like 3 weeks.
Nothing. It feels like it's been like forever since there was a NASCAR race. I haven't found anything extra to do with my Sundays. I'm still busy as crap, but missing some racing a little bit. But otherwise, just I'm doing the hockey thing, man. Lots of hockey.
Yeah. Yep. My whole world has been, so since the NASCAR season ended, I have been in frozen world. My daughter's about to turn 3 next week, so we are headstrong into Frozen. Saw Frozen 2, probably going to go see it again.
I was going to say, did you see Frozen 2? Yeah, you did, huh?
Yep, took her to her first movie, so that's been the exciting part of the off season so far.
Nice. But she make it through the whole thing, no problem?
She did, got a little antsy towards the end. It's a little bit long, but she sat through it and loved the whole thing. And now we've got the album on the iTunes. And it's just a continuous. Anybody out there who's got a young daughter knows what I'm going through.
My boy's first movie theater movie was Cars 3. So,
good one.
And one of them made it through it. The other did not. He had to leave and go out in the hall.
There's been some great Cars 3 memes with the next gen 7 testing that's been going on.
Yeah.
Cause that car looks like what's his name? Storm. The newer car anyway, that kicks Lightning McQueen's butt at the beginning. And then of course, Lightning McQueen battles back and figures it all out.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. It wouldn't be a Disney movie.
Spoiler alert.
Oh no, Disney Pixar. What is it? Is it Pixar? Yeah, it's Pixar, right?
Yeah, it's Pixar. Yeah. Maybe that needs to be our off-season movie podcast this year, is Cars 3.
Maybe it should be Cars 2 because I haven't seen that one. I've seen the other two. I heard Cars 2 is bad.
Cars 2 is bad. Cars 1 is pretty good.
Yeah, Cars 1 is really good, and Cars 3 I think is excellent.
Cars 3 is good because
there's so many Easter eggs in Cars 3. Yeah.
Ryan McGee, shout out, has got a great piece on the development of Cars 3 and how they went and got into the history of NASCAR. How did we get here on this topic?
I don't know.
Good stuff, man. Wow.
You talked about Frozen, man. That's how we got
there. Well, I know. I mean, it's the off season.
Right. The off season. Yeah, if you guys are looking for some rhyme or reason this week, there's nothing else to talk about. We're just going to ramble. We do have some semblance of show notes, but basically it's just Jayski's feed. I didn't even really have to put them in the show notes. I could have just went on Jayski's site and clicked through the news, but... thank God Jayski's back. Otherwise, we'd actually have to work to put our show notes together.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
Well, speaking of news, let's start with the biggest news item of the week, James. Huge announcement that you probably missed. Blue Green Vacations will be the sponsor of the duels at Daytona.
I think we're going to start there. You had it at the top of the show notes, and I thought, there's no way he's going there first.
Yeah, man, we got to start with the big stuff.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I don't know. There's really nothing to do with it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know what Blue Green Vacations is.
Because it was the Budweiser duels for the last couple of years, right? It was off the Bud Shootout, and then it was the Sprint Unlimited for a while.
Yeah.
And then it was the Shootout again.
Yeah. I don't know. I've lost track. And it's going to get even worse this season with sponsorship, so be confused as ever. But I mean, I guess it's Blue Green Vacations. As far as I know, unless there's some other company that's changed its name, like Gander Outdoors has done 70 times. It's a new company in NASCAR. So that's cool. I guess
I'm going to boycott, calling the truck series by its actual name.
I don't even know what its actual name is right now.
Gander RV and Outdoors Truck Series, brought to you by Florida Georgia Line and vodka at the end. I don't know. Nice. Something like that.
Yeah. It's a good thing they're going to get rid of pit stops, because it's going to take them longer than the pit stops to. Never mind. It's a bad joke. All right. Oh, yeah. yeah. So I guess not much else to say there. I just threw that in there for the heck of it, because it was something that.
That's funny. That's a good way to start. I think everybody who's listening is probably like, where's the big item that they're going to talk about? Everybody knows what it is. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. It's down the list a little bit.
Just indulge us for a few minutes.
I'm going to bounce around a little bit. And before we get to the one that we probably should have started with, because it's the furthest back from when we from now, but let's, while we're on a sponsorship discussion, let's talk about CBD sponsorships. James, they will not be allowed in NASCAR.
I don't know. Listen, I've never been a marijuana fan. Right. I guess I don't understand why you wouldn't take money at this point from anybody. But
I mean, we can't have cigarette sponsorship anymore. Obviously, this is different. CBD and it isn't, I mean, it is, but it's not, I don't know. First of all, I'm not a CBD expert by any means.
No.
A lot of other sports are allowing it. Some are on the fence. I know there were a lot of issues with Formula One on that they could have it at certain tracks and not at others because of laws in the countries that they race in. I don't know.
Listen, if we're going to be slinging, all the light beers.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where my issue is I think I'm good with saying, nah, it's a family sport. Let's keep keep everything family oriented, but we have the beer sponsorships. We have liquor sponsorships. So how is this any different?
We parade Keelan Harvick around in the passenger side of his dad's Busch beer car.
Exactly,
so.
And it's not just limited to our sport. I mean,
not saying that's good or bad. It doesn't bother me one bit. I like a cold beer as much as the next guy. But right.
I mean, honestly, to stick a beer sponsor or a, you know, any sponsor that gets you impaired on a car,
truth
is already a bad idea.
Truth, yeah.
I mean, so I don't know. I think it's just the CBD thing, the marijuana thing, all that stuff, so new. Nobody really knows where it quite falls. Because I know that there's been, you know, a lot of this advertisement, they've been able to do some of this stuff. And it's like, okay, so shouldn't marijuana or vaping or whatever, shouldn't that stuff kind of fall in the same category as cigarettes? And cigarettes already have been banned from all this stuff, like federally. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I think this is one of those things, like, see what the NFL and the NBA, see what those guys do.
Right. And it's not like we're putting pot plants and, you know, blunts on the side of cars. This is CBD. I mean, this is freaking family video rental places have this stuff for sale. So, I mean, I don't know.
Anybody who listens to us outside of what's family video, the Midwest.
Right. Yeah. Midwest, I don't know how local it is, but.
It did make an appearance in Stranger Things. So, okay, this is another – I'm going to do this a lot on this podcast. So if you've watched Stranger Things, the last season, there was a family video pops up.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, my God, family video. Because we used to have one in my hometown before it closed down.
Right.
And as you said, they've been slinging CBD out of the family video now.
Yeah, it's on the sign out front.
To stay open. Yeah. And I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about how they had this fake video store on Stranger Things. And I'm like, guys, family video is an institution. You have no idea.
Yeah. And so if you're wondering, it's basically like a Blockbuster video that somehow survived, probably because they never actually made money. Hey, look, the dog is barking.
There it is. And
hey.
You called it. We should have taken a timestamp on that and seen.
Yeah, I know.
How close you could get to actually her barking.
It's because everybody came home, and of course, there's noise from that too. So,
do you need my dog to bark too? He's sleeping right behind me.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's up to you if you want him to bark.
Sounds like a train's going through.
I know. It sounds like it. Yes, they're all supposed to be being quiet, but not so much. 2 7-year-olds don't know how to be quiet.
No, they never do.
No.
I have a 3-year-old that's going to bed, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the same boat, kind of.
So let's bounce back to Homestead for a minute, James. Let's go back, because I don't think we discussed this on the podcast, right?
No, we talked about it. I sent you guys an article, like an obscure article. You and our good buddy Todd, friend of the pod. I said, I kind of just put a couple of question marks. I was like, well, this is kind of interesting. And then it was only a few hours later. Gluck had the news and the penalties were coming down.
Yep. So Reddit, I saw it on Reddit first, and I saw it in Reddit quite a bit before anything was announced. I stand by that. I think if Reddit wouldn't have been on the case, that this wouldn't have been caught. But anyway, so what we're talking about, of course, I'm sure everybody knows about it. Premium Motorsports, Rick Ware Racing, Inspire Motorsports penalized after Homestead for manipulating the results of the season-ending race at Homestead, Miami. I don't remember exactly how it went down because it's been a couple weeks now, but basically positioning themselves, pulling off the track, allowing a certain driver to be the top non-charter team to get the extra money, the bonus money, basically.
Yep.
So big penalties as a result. Let's see. Let me go through these here. The number 15 team, team owner Jay Robinson, fined $50,000 and assessed with a loss of 50 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championship points. Competition director Scott Eggleston fined $25,000 and indefinitely suspended from NASCAR. The number 27 team was assessed with the loss of 50 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championship points. 52 team, Rick Ware, fined $50,000 and assessed with the loss of 50 points. Competition director Kenneth Evans fined $25,000 and indefinitely suspended from NASCAR. And the number 77 team owner TJ, I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce his last name, fined $50,000 and assessed with a loss of 50 points. Competition director Scott Eggleston fined $25,000 and indefinitely suspended from NASCAR. Yeah, so big penalties and not a surprise because NASCAR has set the precedent for this before.
Yep.
It's good to see that they're not going to allow this crap. And I'm waiting for the day, James. I'm waiting for the day that, you know, I'm just throwing an example out there because it's the team that popped into my head. I'm waiting for the day that, you know, Kyle Busch is racing for the championship and all he's got to do is get by his teammate to get the championship and his teammate lets him go. You know,
this is the world we live in,
because it's one of those things that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're that team, because if you don't give them the position, then you just cost yourself a championship. Well, if you do give them the position, you run the risk of this. So,
yeah, this is Jordan Bianchi's biggest point. He brought this up during when Kevin Harvick won Texas, I believe. Remember, Eric Almirola was having a really good run.
Mm.
And Jordan basically said, I have no problem with Stuart Haas telling Almirola to pull over. He's right. Not in the championship hunt. And I thought that was kind of like a bold take, because normally you'd say, no, you race.
Yeah.
But it makes you think, like, and you know, with these teams too, I think if I'm not mistaken, and it's been, like you said, it's been a while. But these teams, a lot of these teams are working out of the same shop. There are three different teams. I think it's Jay Robinson's shop, and I'm not 100% sure there, but they're running a lot of cars out of this one area. So, it was advantageous for all of them to figure out a way to help each other out. It's kind of a conundrum, really, because, like you said, if it was on the bigger scale, it definitely would be more noticeable. But these teams compete every week at the back of the field, and it matters.
Yeah, it's this race that we don't ever get to see. But
we just don't pay attention to it.
It's,
you know,
just as big of a deal as the one at the front of the field.
Exactly. It's a big deal for those guys.
Yep.
And in that 77 team, they've got a pretty good charter. So they're not in a place where they even care so much about. They've got the old Furniture Row charter, so they're already getting that's a very valuable charter for them. So on one hand, I don't blame these teams for trying to game the system to figure something out, but what is the 100% rule that NASCAR has?
Right.
You know, is this in a manipulated way? Is this racing at 100% to figure out the best way for your organization, or is it just competing on the track, trying to make every position you possibly can? I guess that's I guess that's a questionable thing for everybody to kind of think about.
I applaud NASCAR for taking a stand on something that nobody really cares about in the grand scheme of things.
Yep.
Good on them. and upholding the precedent that they've set. On the other hand, though, man, it concerns me when they're legislating this stuff, because how – Bella, dang it. How
Bella's
do you,
upset about this topic.
She is. She's ticked right off. I mean, where do you draw the line? Like, at what point do you – are you not able to legislate? You know what I mean? It's just like spinning on purpose. It's the same thing. You're making a judgment call at some point, and I don't know. It concerns me a little bit when NASCAR is over-regulating stuff. I still think sometimes it'd be nice just to stand back and let teams do stuff. And
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of this kind of stuff going on. It's not – this is kind of a bigger scheme.
Yeah.
But Bubba Wallace spinning on purpose. Joey Logano spinning on purpose. Like, these are – I don't know. We're noticing it much more now.
Right.
And it's because of the way the system is. It's – especially in the playoffs, it's so meaningful. These races are so meaningful. You know, it's not so much in the regular season. It doesn't really matter. But when the playoffs are on the line, yeah, you do everything you can to, you know, save your position, stay on the lead lap. I'm sure there's gamesmanship going on in the pits.
Well, it's like, where is the line drawn? So, like, I can think back to an example of, I don't remember what year it was, but Dale Earnhardt was racing with the championship. I think it was the year he was racing Mark Martin for the championship, one of the many probably. And I remember they started Neil Bonnett in another car, another Richard Childress car. And basically Neil Bonnett was the backup car for Earnhardt. If something broke on his car, they'd switch cars. Earnhardt would jump into Bonnett's car and still race for the championship.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Johnson, remember at Dover, this is probably 10 or 12 years ago now. Remember Dover only had 40 or 42 pit stalls and we were racing 43 cars. And Johnson did not qualify well at all. And they worked out a deal with another team to make sure that Jimmy always pitted first.
Yep.
Jimmy always got the priority first. Like, that's gaming the system in a different way.
Yeah, it's tough. This stuff is tough to police.
This
one was a little more obvious. There was a certain pattern that they caught. There was radio chatter again. You know, it's
a bigger conspiracy type thing that was going on. But the gamesmanship... there's always gamesmanship. There's always cheating in NASCAR. You know, what's the old adage, Eric? The old saying.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. That's NASCAR's motto, right?
Yeah.
It's been that way since I was a kid.
So
that's been auto racing in America for a long time.
I stumbled across a video. So I'm going to go off on two different tangents here. First tangent is I stumbled across a video on YouTube. I don't know if it was from this season or if it was a different time or whatever, but it was Ray Evernham hosting a panel of cheaters, basically. A bunch of motorsports team owners or whatever that had essentially cheated and were admitting to it. And one of them was Andy Petrie. And Petrie talked about when he was crew chiefing the 33 car for Harry Gant and how they've manufactured a rear spoiler on the restrictor plate tracks that they could lower the spoiler while the car was out on the track and then hit a button and pop it back up to where it was. And it was just excellent the way that the story went. It was so good. And Evernham also talks about the T-Rex car, which I don't know if people really know what it was about that car. Everybody knows the story that they showed up the track, Gordon dominated the All-Star race, and then NASCAR checked the car out. It was legal and essentially said, it won't be legal next week. You know, we're changing the rules or we're going to write the rules around this car. But there's never been a lot of talk over what that was. And basically, Evernham said what it was is they had learned how to get the car to sit down with shocks like we're doing now back then and made that car sit so it was glued to the track. And that's what dominated that race. And NASCAR changed the rules or added rules to make it so they couldn't do that at the time.
Yeah, probably the fastest car in the history of the sport at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just completely dominant.
Yeah, so that was really interesting. I don't remember what the other tangent was I was going to go off on, but it was good, too.
We've got plenty of room for tangents, man.
I'll come back to it, I'm sure.
We'll sneak it in there somewhere. Don't worry.
Sure. So anything else on that? Does that pretty much cover that?
Yeah, it's...
I didn't want to ignore it. It's really old news at this point, but I didn't want to ignore it. So.
No, it's good. Yeah, we're leading up to the main to the grand finale on our topics, but that's a big one, and it's still a big one. It's something that... I think we do need to keep an eye on this in 2020. Not specifically this situation, but manipulation of racing. There's a trend going on that we got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree.
Really noteworthy.
I'm gonna bounce around and keep the big one for the last. Let's talk about NASCAR announced its new sponsorship model for 2020.
Yep.
Which pretty much is similar to what we were expecting. Maybe not quite what we were expecting, because it doesn't appear as if they're necessarily going to have, like, you know, I kind of envision it as, okay, this quarter of the season is going to be the Coca-Cola portion, and this portion of the season will be whatever. But it's not quite like that. They're kind of doing an official sponsor of whatever type of thing. Comes with race sponsorships. The different deals are different for different brands. So the premier partners, the main premier partners, are Busch Beer, Coca-Cola, Geico, and Xfinity. So I'm going to run down these real quick. Busch Beer is going to be official partner in 2000 returned as... Okay, never mind. Busch Beer, the deal provided the beer band. So they'll do the poll award still. And yep. It will have... They will sponsor a NASCAR Cup Series event, which, by the way, it is the NASCAR Cup Series now, which is awesome. I like that.
Yep, yep.
And that was pretty much all they really talked about with Anheuser-Busch or with Busch Beer. So I'm sure more stuff will come out from that. Coca-Cola, they officially further enhances their position as the official soft drink in NASCAR and a signature part of the brand's marketing strategy, the Coca-Cola Racing Family, exclusive group of top drivers that will remain. They will continue to own race entitlements at Charlotte Motor Speedway and Daytona International Speedway, and will become the presenting sponsor of the NASCAR Cup Series regular season championship trophy.
Nice.
Yes. Geico will, let's see, become a presenting partner of a season phase. So I'm assuming this will be the Western Swing.
Yeah, and they've got the Geico Restart Zone and all the tracks too, right. So they're going to have a pretty big presence. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm assuming the West Coast Swing will be the, you know, NASCAR Goes West, brought to you by Geico, right, or something like that.
Xfinity will sponsor the Championship Four Elimination Race, 2020 NASCAR Cup Series playoffs at Martinsville. Will be the title sponsor of the Xfinity Series, as it already is, the official entertainment partner of NASCAR. And let's see. Yeah, it will retain its Xfinity Series sponsorship. So, yeah, there you okay. go. And you then go. And also saw Monster is returning as the official energy drink of NASCAR. And for anybody who was concerned, the Monster Girls will be at the track again next year.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have a decreased role, but still be a significant part of the sport.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll still be behind the camera in Victory Lane and that sort
they
of thing.
They never really were a big installation in NASCAR.
No, you know, I really was surprised that they, Monster in general, I thought that they would be more in your face because, you know, with Monster Energy Supercross and the other stuff that Monster's done, they're usually really in your face, but they were very low key at the track. You know, at the first season they had signage on the walls and the corners and really low key. Last year, I liked that they added the Monster Energy sign at the finish line and the flag stand, which probably nobody noticed except me. They had the big Monster logos in the grass, but for the most part, they were a very low key sponsor. And even the Monster Girls were, first of all, dressed much more appropriately in the Cup Series than they were in other, you know, markets for Monster Energy, even though some will argue that they still were too scantily clad. But I didn't have a problem with it personally, just for the record.
Clad. What a great usage.
right. Yeah. But I mean, they really weren't, like you said, they weren't in your face at all. They were in Victory Lane and that was about it. We really didn't see a lot of it. So,
well, and we should note too, that Monster did back out of an extension.
Yes.
They had more years on the table, but with the sponsorship, I think it was kind of a mutual agreeing of splitting, of stepping away.
Right.
NASCAR wanted to move to this model and Monster seems like they didn't want to have that extension. I'm sure NASCAR would have taken their money.
Right.
But this, it sounds like this agreement's going to allow
NASCAR.
They're
still taking their money, James.
Oh, yeah. They're getting their cash. Oh, yeah. No, the sponsorship model. NASCAR doesn't do stuff to lose money.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This will benefit NASCAR in the long run. So
yeah,
I think it's cool. I like the fact that it's the NASCAR Cup Series that we will no longer have the brand change every time a sponsor leaves. So,
yep. Did you see the, I think Adam Stern had it, that NASCAR was actually discouraging some sponsors from becoming a premier sponsor if it were to take away from their cup programs?
No, I'd heard a little bit about that NASCAR
FedEx
was...
FedEx is a good example there.
Okay.
That FedEx was looking to probably increase some involvement, but it would take away a little bit from Denny Hamlin's car. So that's NASCAR cool. told them, we would rather you sponsor the car.
That's good.
So that's pretty cool. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I like
gotta
that.
Have healthy teams. You got to have healthy teams.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing something along. I'm going to use Monster Jam as an example, which I know is a really terrible example. But a lot of the Monster Jam teams are owned by Feld Entertainment, who owns Monster Jam. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing NASCAR step in and have some ownership of these teams to ensure that these teams continue to run. They still run as independent teams, so they're still racing against each other and everything. But if it gets to that point where, Richard you know, Petty finances Motors. Are that tough, yeah, like Richard Petty Motorsports, let's keep some of these teams in the sport.
Yeah.
If there's a way to do that and work with these partnerships with these sponsors and everything to help sponsor these cars and keep them running, however that looks.
Use some of that Coca-Cola money and funnel it to the 43 or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
like
he's a Coke driver. So.
Right. Right. So yeah. who knows? I mean, this is me pulling something out of my butt. I mean, this isn't
well,
something that's being
yeah.
discussed, but yeah. there has been talk about how this will benefit teams as well. And
yeah,
so
that's good.
Yeah. So
it's
Joey Logano tested the Gen 7 car this week at Phoenix. You kind of mentioned this already with all the Cars 3 stuff.
Yeah.
One thing I thought that was, first of all, it was really cool. Joey got a chance to do a couple streams on social media and kind of show people the car and stuff. I like this car so far. I think the most exciting thing to me was the short spoiler on the rear, which is barely
yeah.
a spoiler.
Yep, so they did a couple of different versions. They had the big spoiler the first day, short spoiler second day.
Yeah. And then they had some contraption under the rear, which didn't get a really good look at it, but Joey was talking about it, and supposedly it's to allow the air to funnel through a little bit more and make racing behind the car better. So that's cool.
Yeah.
It worries me a little bit because it looked a lot like the front wing of a Formula One car that, you know, you breathe on and it knocks it off of it. But who knows?
yeah. Early. We're still early.
Yeah, it's all prototype stuff. The car has
car
no...
looked good on the track.
Yeah.
The front end was off the ground.
How about the wheels, man?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the wheels.
I like the wheels.
Cute. They look cute. I don't like the rims that they're using.
No, that's... I like that. It looks like a street car, man. That's what it's supposed to be. We haven't run the style of wheels that NASCAR runs on street cars in decades.
I don't know.
Decades.
Just change the rims. I want my rims to look like they belong on a race car.
They do. They look like race car rims. They just look a little bit more like sports car rims than they do
NASCAR
rims.
Nah, we can disagree.
I like it. I think that it's a sleek looking car. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Keep that front end off the ground and keep that spoiler short. And I think a lot of people are going to be happy.
Yep. Can't wait to see what the manufacturers do with it, with their input. Should be pretty cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited about going to that Gen 7 car. Can't wait to see it on the track in actual racing conditions.
Years ago.
Yep.
1 year ago.
Yep. I haven't seen. I'm assuming they're going to phase it in like they did the car tomorrow. Is that the plan?
No, I think they're going right to
they're
it.
They're going to go straight to it, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. I don't think these teams are going to have a pretty big investment, and they're going to be.
I think it's a bigger investment, though, to do half and half.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you can't stop researching the current car.
Well, yeah, when they brought the COT in, that was a
disaster.
Hot mess. Yeah. That season was a hot mess. The video game was fun because you could flip back and forth. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was young and dumb back then too. I'm still dumb. Just not
as young anymore. I teased the pit stop thing. NASCAR apparently considering getting rid of live pit stops in either the Xfinity or Truck Series series. What do you think of this, James? Do you think we'd miss pit stops in those series?
I could see fans getting their panties in a wad on this one.
I would like to see the truck series go back to the old halfway point break.
Intermissions?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is I guess maybe not. Maybe allow them to pit during. First of all, here's the thing. Let me say this. You guys that want to see these series on smaller tracks, these short tracks, you want to see them get off of the big NASCAR, you know, Cup Series tracks and go back to your hometown tracks, this is a way to do that because you don't need a good pit road, i.e. Eldora, to do this if you don't have live pit stops because you can bring them in, have half the field pit, and you don't worry about positions. You don't have to have proper pit stalls and all that stuff. So this is a way to get you back there where you want to be. I think the pit stops need to stay in the Xfinity series. I think that series should be a mini Cup series essentially. But the truck series, I would have absolutely no problem seeing it go away. I know people are going to cry. You know, we're going to here's more jobs we're eliminating NASCAR.
It's not.
These are all Cup teams pitting these teams.
Yeah. There's development guys out there, but the percentages aren't what you think they are. It's not 100% of people losing their jobs. It's more like 30%.
It's just like if you were to get rid of Truck Series spotters. Obviously, you wouldn't do that because it'd be dangerous, but you're not getting rid of, you're probably getting rid of three guys that aren't Cup team spotters already.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A lot of these Cup teams, though, they do disperse their like feeder system throughout the Xfinity trucks. Like, I'm just guessing that Stuart Haas probably has guys in the Truck Series, even though they don't own a truck. They've got pit crew guys out there.
Right.
And you know, when Kyle Busch runs a Xfinity Series race or a trucks race, who do you think's pitting his stuff?
Right.
You know, it's his Cup guys. You know, they're just getting extra practice. So.
Yeah. Like I said, I'd be good to getting rid of it in the Truck Series. I don't want to see him go away in the Xfinity Series, though.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I think, I'm on board with keeping it. I think it adds to the team aspect of the sport.
Yeah. I certainly wouldn't be disappointed if they don't get rid of him.
Right.
But I like the old, style of the Truck Series. I love the whole halfway break and all that stuff. I thought that was great. So.
Yeah, well, maybe on short tracks or something. Maybe that's something that you consider a mere partial. Maybe there's certain races you don't have to do a whole season's worth of it. I don't know. Makes it kind of messy that way though too. So,
right. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the big news, James.
Yeah.
So one of the greatest crew chiefs in NASCAR history.
Ooh, you said it.
Is no longer a crew chief in NASCAR.
Don't even put the potential on it, man. Say it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Cole Pearn steps down as crew chief of Martin Truex Jr.'s team, and he's leaving NASCAR.
Incredible.
Yep, leaving JGR, leaving NASCAR. Big surprise. I don't think anybody saw it coming. Sounds like Martin Truex Jr. didn't see it coming. He was told the night before the announcement, supposedly. And, I think, well, where do we go from this? I mean, good on Cole for being able to step away. If that's what he wants to do, that's great. You know, it's always good to be able to step out toward the top, and he's definitely toward the top. Didn't win a championship this year, but was in the running for it. And as we've said, you know, one of the best crew chiefs in the history of the sport.
A game changer.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess my first question is, what does this mean for Martin Truex Jr.?
Is it? Okay. My first thought. About Martin Truex Jr. Outside of Cole Pearn. My thought was, well, does Martin Truex Jr. win another race?
Yeah.
I think he does.
I think he'll win another race, yes.
He'll win a race. But I don't think it's a stretch to say that it's not going to be as easy for him.
Because I don't think he's a championship contender anymore.
I don't disagree with you.
And maybe we're not giving Martin Truex Jr. enough credit. But no, Martin Truex Jr. doesn't have a history, you know, of success without Cole Pearn.
To be fair, Cole Pearn doesn't have any success without Martin Truex Jr. But that's
true.
That's the only driver he's ever had. It's the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen debate. You know, both are great. They never won without the other.
Who was Martin Truex Jr.'s crew chief at Michael Waltrip Racing?
Well, let me look at that, actually.
He's got a couple wins there, doesn't he?
He had two wins at Michael Waltrip, and he had one win at DEI. I can get that for
you.
And
he was good at Michael Waltrip Racing.
He wasn't bad. He made a couple of runs at Michael Waltrip.
I mean, he wasn't great, but neither was Michael Waltrip Racing. They were close. They were on the cusp of becoming a great team.
I'm going to get this for you in just a second here. I'm trying to, anyway.
I mean, it seems hard to say somebody who's won as many races as he has the last 3 years, that something as simple as losing his crew chief is going to relegate him to nothingness.
He had some good crew chiefs. Pat Tryson, Chad Johnston, who's gone on to have a little bit of success. Let me go back a little bit further too. 2008, Kevin Bono Mannion. Remember, he had him for a while.
Yep.
He didn't ever really had consistent crew chiefs though throughout those DEI years. He had Pat Tryson probably the longest, probably the most well-known crew chief he had. Let me look at 2013 really quick. Yeah, he had Chad Johnston for quite a bit too. So,
I mean,
things changed when he got to Cole Pearn. I'll tell you what.
I know your opinion on this, James. I feel like I do. I feel like that
we've talked about it
that the majority of his success is Cole Pearn. think is kind of
my favorite take on Joe Gibbs Racing getting the Furniture Row guys was, you got Martin Truex Jr. Even better, you get Cole Pearn in your house, like in house. You get Cole Pearn in house.
Yep.
And it's kind of a bummer that they only had him for 1 year.
Yeah.
Probably the best crew chief in the business over the last 5 years, and now he's out the door.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, he's
devastating.
He's been the guy since Chad Knaus wasn't the guy anymore.
Yeah, and to be fair to Adam Stevens, he's been really good too. He's won more races.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, I don't view Adam Stevens as the reason that Kyle Busch is successful.
I don't either. But
I'm not saying that Adam Stevens is no part of it. He's certainly a major part of it. But I think Kyle is, if you were looking at percentages, I'd say 75-25 Kyle Busch to Adam Stevens, and probably the other way around for
Truex. Let me argue this with you, though, too. Kyle Busch without Adam Stevens, no championships. True. Adam Stevens comes on board the very first year they run together, championship.
True.
They've got another one in the bank, 27 wins.
Yeah.
So, and Kyle Busch.
Yeah, maybe Adam Stevens doesn't get enough credit because he's not on camera as much.
True. Yeah. I mean, he's Cole Pearn was definitely a character in the sport, you know, didn't wear the fire suit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of one of those kind of a nomad in that sense.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. So Kyle Busch has 56 career wins. So 27 with Adam Stevens. Definitely the most dominant portion of his career has been with Adam Stevens.
So what's the bigger story, James? Is it Cole Pearn leaving Martin Truex Jr., or is it Carl Edwards stepping away when he stepped away?
Well, Carl Edwards was a big star.
Yeah, but Cole Pearn.
Oh, they're both. It's funny. The parallels are kind of funny. It's both the 19 car, and they're both coming off Final Four championship berths where they were legitimate chances to win the title, and huge mistakes wiped them both out.
Yeah, do you think that's what it was, man? The tires went on the wrong side, and we're just done. Forget it. I'm over this crap.
He never wanted to come back to North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He loved being out there in Denver. He had a hard time coming to Joe Gibbs in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. We're seeing guys in the sport, drivers, crew chiefs included now, younger and younger, not sticking around as much. Like Carl Edwards has disappeared.
Yeah.
He's just not around anymore.
Yeah, and I don't know how much. If you're not enjoying it anymore, there's no reason to be there. You're not there for the money anymore.
Exactly. It's so strange. I don't know how much we're going to see Jimmy, honestly, when he retires. He's got so many other interests outside the sport. And, you know, you see Kyle Busch and how seems to be teetering on whether he's happy or not. Who knows? But, you know.
Yeah, I see Kyle still being around, though. Kyle's going to be a team owner. We'll see him as a team owner, I think.
Oh, he's going to stick. Yeah, he's going to stick around. I just don't know what capacity he's looking at, obviously. But
Jimmy, I could very much see only making a few appearances at tracks. And
yeah, I mean, Danica left and never came back. That's another, Tony Stewart, for, you know, being a car owner, he's off doing his own thing. He's running the races he wants to run. And I don't know, man. I'm just still shocked about Cole Pearn.
I am too. I mean, I think
it's the best.
This completely changes the outlook for potential champions over the next several years, because I think Martin Truex Jr. certainly had another one in him.
It's a shift. Yeah. It's definitely a shift. He's gone championship, runner-up the last 3 years.
Yep.
And since these two combined together, they've made the Final Four 4 out of their 5 years. And they should have made it that other year, but he wrecked out and the playoffs kind of nipped him.
Right.
But he was a good team that year too. 4 wins that season in 2016 that he didn't make the Final Four. So he was really good. Really good that year too. Almost led 2,000 laps. I mean, jeez.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I don't know what was your initial reaction when you saw the news? Was it, I mean, were you shocked or were
I was
you like,
definitely shocked, was not expecting it whatsoever. I caught some discussion on NASCAR radio where they were talking about people stepping away and didn't realize what it was about yet, because I hadn't checked the news and they didn't mention Cole Pearn by name on the broadcast. So when I saw the announcement, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. That was something.
It's because I thought they were just talking about rumors of drivers leaving is the way it seemed on the broadcast, but they were referring to Cole. So,
yeah.
I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal for Martin Truex Jr. This next season is going to be a huge deal for him because he needs to step up and show, you know, that it wasn't Cole Pearn that is the reason he's successful. Truex would do a lot of favors for himself to come out and win Daytona. Yep. The pressure will be on at Daytona. The pressure will be on the first quarter of the season to show that he can do it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's kind of a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick type thing. You know, they've done so much together in their time that they're, you know, trying to prove. Well, I guess, you know, in NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus.
Well, even
those
better.
Those guys are still trying to figure it out.
How about Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham? I mean,
that's another great one.
Look at Jeff Gordon's career after Evernham left.
Yeah, he was able to get another title, but was never probably left a few titles on the board. I mean, if Evernham stays, I mean, we think Evernham's probably the greatest crew chief of all time.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he Chad Knaus definitely is right with him, but Chad Knaus came from the Evernham camp, so.
So I know you pulled some stats. Where does Cole Pearn rank?
I'm looking at active guys still. So I'm comparing him to Adam Stevens, Chad Knaus, Rodney Childers, and another one who's kind of forgotten, Paul Wolf.
Okay. Yeah.
Had a really nice run, but he's not been, he's, you know, they've quieted down, over the last few years. But so Rodney Childers, just to give you an example, since he's been with Kevin Harvick, he has won. Now this is going from 2014. So he's got one more year on Cole Pearn. But he has won 26 races with Kevin Harvick since 2014. Completely changed Kevin Harvick's career. I think these two are probably the biggest comp for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That Kevin Harvick had a great career before Rodney Childers, but you combine, you get this crew chief and this driver, and you have this perfect blend of team, driver, crew chief. Everything comes together, and the whole thing changes. Kevin Harvick goes from a fringe Hall of Fame guy with a Daytona 500 in his back pocket to a perennial championship contender.
Right.
Has never finished worse than eighth in the points since they've come together. I think these two are probably the most easily comparable of the bunch. And then Chad Knaus during his peak, I'm looking at his numbers. He, you know, obviously he's fallen off. Hasn't been with Jimmy for over the last season. Now he was with William Byron. But nobody compares to Chad
at his
peak, seven championships, but the five in a row with Jimmy. But they're so dominant. I you know, Chad's in a league above his own. And we've already talked about Adam Stevens,
right?
And Kyle Busch. And another, I think those are kind of the cream of the crop. And then Paul Wolf's kind of right there in that next level. Until him and Brad can figure out how to get another title under their belt or compete for one here. But Paul Wolf, when him and Brad got together, I thought that was they were dynamite for a couple of seasons there, but it's definitely quieted down for those guys. So I think Pearn was the best in the business at his time of leaving. And now I think that kind of maybe falls back to Rodney Childers. I think he's probably the best in the garage area again. Now with what we're, I guess kind of what we're looking at, but also he's got a driver who's aging into his 40s too, so it's going to be a little bit harder. Can be a little bit harder for Rodney to continue some of the statistical stuff for that four team that they've had.
Is Cole Pearn a Hall of Famer?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's what I would think so. I mean,
yeah,
he's got the title.
Yeah, I don't care how many years he competed or not. He got a championship and he changed some stuff. Yeah. Man, teams are doing things based on the way he ran his team.
Right.
Specifically that 78 team. You know, he kind of changed the game.
Well, he took a team from nothingness to making it a championship team. And then, you know, arguably made Joe Gibbs Racing better, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He came on board at Joe Gibbs Racing and they put three cars in the final four. He's a piece of the pie there.
Well, and Joe Gibbs Racing was getting information from him before he came in, too. So.
Yeah, but then you bring him under the roof and you've got him right in house.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
how much money do you think they offered to get him to stay?
probably a lot. And he has good reasons for not staying, you know, and we don't know all of the reasons. He says he wants to spend more time with his family, and, you know, that's fairly broad. That, you know, who knows exactly what that means.
Right.
But that's his business, and I hope he finds what he's looking for. You know, I think we're all, whether you're a competitive person or not, we're all striving to find that balance in life of what we love to do. And, you know, if you know, Eric, you and I understand,
we're
busy guys and we have families. So we try to figure out how to balance it all together. But being with your family is very important. And if that's what he wants to do, God bless him. I mean, figure it out.
Yeah. You know? I mean, look, I don't feel bad for anybody who works in NASCAR. You know, I don't feel bad for these guys for living their dream. I don't feel bad for them because, we got to run so many weeks out of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the same note, I can't blame anybody for getting out of it because of it. You know?
Yeah.
It's a choice they get to make. And if that's not what they want to do, then they shouldn't be there. And that's great that it's great that they can earn enough of a career to be able to make that decision and step away. I'm sure Cole's going to do just fine. Probably doesn't need to work, you know?
Yeah.
And that's awesome that he can do that. But like I said, don't feel sorry for him while they're there, but certainly understand when they leave because of how grueling it is. It's a grueling schedule. It's tough. There's a lot of travel. There is very little time, especially in a crew chief role. I would argue the crew chief role is probably more grueling than a driver.
It's probably the hardest job.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are working all week long. The drivers are doing autograph signings and getting time off. These guys aren't getting time off as a crew chief.
No, you're always thinking about how to make that car faster.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that being a driver is easy. It's not, but
yeah.
I think this is tougher. And they don't get the recognition that the drivers do.
No, and that's what the Chad Knaus thing, the fact that he's been doing it as long as he has is just, he has 20 years of crew chiefing.
That's crazy.
Guys, and it's just, I mean, I don't know how he's done it as long as he has. And he's got William Byron on the cusp, I think, really good season next year. So if he figures out a way, if Chad figures out a way to win another title at this stage of his life, I mean, just give him the title belt. He's the he's the best ever, because it's incredible.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that pretty much covers that, right? I don't think there's anything else to talk about there.
Yeah, it's a shocker. I don't know if we'll see I don't know if we'll see another guy quite like Cole Pearn come through the crew chief ranks anytime soon.
We will.
Special.
It'll happen. There's always somebody else to fill that role.
Yeah, it might be somebody who fills the role, but they might fill it a little bit differently.
Oh,
he was a special type of character. I don't know. He's going to go down in the history of NASCAR as kind of like a rocket that kind of shot up, and he was here very quickly and was gone.
Yep.
And, you know, who knows what the future holds? Maybe a year off will do him some good. Maybe he comes back. You know, you never know. He's a young guy. He's not.
Yeah.
Not like he was born in 1982, man. He's only 5 years older than me. So he's not that old.
Right.
I feel old. I'm not that old. I feel older than I am.
Yeah. Should be me. One thing I didn't put in the show notes, but I think my favorite off-season story so far has been the William Byron, since you mentioned him, and Ryan Blaney.
Oh yeah,
relationship. For those of you who don't know, that William Byron's dating Ryan Blaney's sister, and it has been pretty entertaining.
It's entertaining.
Blaney's becoming that guy that's in the back of all the photos, and
Blaney with that ridiculous mustache of his, it makes for really good. It's just good optics.
Blaney's definitely in the wrong decade. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's something else, man.
he'd have done well hanging with the Tim Richmonds and all that stuff back in the day.
Hell, Dale Jr. in his prime.
Yeah.
He's one of those type of dudes.
Blaney should have been racing in the late 80s.
We can get that guy to win a few more races. He's really got that. He's got a great personality.
He's got the star power if he could get the success.
Yeah, I saw him with Cassidy. He was hanging out with Cassidy Pope at the banquet and stuff. And we didn't even talk about the banquet.
I didn't watch the banquet, so.
Yeah, I saw enough, but the burnout contest was kind of cool.
Yeah, I saw that they had they had lights underneath the cars and stuff, and that was pretty neat.
Joey Logano almost fenced it. William Byron almost fenced it, too.
I heard that Nashville was very accommodating, and everybody was super happy with being in Nashville.
I got a little upset about the tire marks on the main stretch, I heard. I did see that. I did read that piece.
Interesting.
The city had
Was it a Nick Bromberg story?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was actually, I think, the Tennessean or something. Yeah. But they said the city actually had to come out with an announcement saying, we have rubber on this road every single day. It just looks a little different. We will wash it off. It's not that big of a deal.
That's funny.
So that's good. That's what roads are for, people.
At least they weren't doing burnouts on the yard or bricks in Indy. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. Or smash in Nashville. That was the Nick Bromberg story that that made me chuckle a little bit.
What was it?
Joe Gibbs said Kyle Busch knows how to collect trophies in Nashville, and then Nick Bromberg. I'm laughing even thinking about it. And then Nick Bromberg retweeted, "Oh, you mean the trophy that he smashed moments after this photo was taken and immediately got harassed for it?" That was good.
I'm still so irritated over that because the reasoning behind smashing the trophy was noble.
I know.
I mean, I get it. I understand. It's a Sam Bass piece. It's a freaking expensive guitar. It looks really bad, but he wanted to give his team a piece of the trophy.
I think he thought of that after the fact.
I don't think so. I think that was legit.
Are we still talking about that 11 years later?
Dang,
I think it's controversy in NASCAR. Kyle Busch finds a way.
Yep. Yep. That's what he's here for. James, got any shout outs this week?
You know, my buddy texted me a little bit ago. He is at the Indiana Pacers game tonight.
Okay.
Against the Boston Celtics. And he said, and I quote, let me just read the text really quick. He was texting me about the Indianapolis 500, blah, blah, blah. He knows a guy. And then he says, your boy, Roger Penske, is in the house.
Huh. Nice.
So I thought, hey, say hi to Raj for us. So that's cool. That was kind of a cool shout out. He's hanging out with Roger Penske.
Cool.
Kind. He's in the same building.
Yeah. Penske going to buy a basketball team too?
I mean, he owns everything else.
Right.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. I don't have any shout outs this week. I guess nothing.
It's been an off season.
It's been an off season. On that note, we are in the middle of the off season. We have Christmas coming up in a couple weeks, and we're going to probably not do a podcast until after Christmas. At this point, if something breaks news wise, we'll certainly pop on and do a quick podcast. But for right now, we're going to enjoy the holidays, get through that. Once we get past probably right after New Year's, we'll get together, do another one, and kind of get some of our off-season discussions out of the way and start preparing for February, because it'll be here before you know it.
I tell you what is not going to happen during this off-season. I will not be fooled by any testing videos. It got me last off-season. Yeah. I have my guard up now.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
It was a fun podcast. That was one of my favorite podcasts.
It was fun. It was cool. It was fun to
pop on.
We were
all excited.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. God.
I blame Jeff Gluck.
Yeah, it's all his fault. That's a good reason to do. Just blame Jeff. James, where can they find you on social media if they want to talk to you over the holidays?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. I will advise you that if you want to talk to me, send me a message so I get a notification, and it might be 3 or 4 days before I check it, because I've kind of been avoiding the NASCAR Twitterverse for the past couple weeks and enjoying the fact that I'm avoiding it. So.
Hey, we got to take a break, man. We all have to take a break.
Yeah, exactly. But hit me up at T Super Speedway. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. If you want more of the podcast, you can visit our website at thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on there, show notes, links to all the articles we discussed today, although you can just go to jayski.com and get the same thing. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. If you like what you're hearing, you want to become a part of the show, become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. Couple housekeeping things. I am going to hopefully be switching the podcast over to a different provider over the off season, because I didn't want to do it in the middle of the season and screw everything up. So if for some reason all your stuff gets screwed up, the episodes and whatever, I apologize in advance. Hopefully we can make it a seamless transition. At this point, I don't have anything in the works, so it's going to be a bit yet before it happens. But when it does, if things go crazy, I apologize, but it's better to do it now in the off season than do it in the middle of the season. So don't worry, stuff will still be there. We'll still have some way to access the old episodes if we lose them, and we'll still be around. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back for next season, and like I said, we'll be back for some off season stuff as well after the holidays and go from there. So anything else, James? Did I miss anything?
No, I think we're good, man.
There you go.
I think yeah, it was as a mess as it usually is.
Right.
So
if you guys are missing us at all, we've got like tons of old episodes on Apple Podcasts. So go check them out. Listen to those. Some good interviews over the past couple seasons with different people. Got to talk with the Orange Cone, the guy who has Barron Speedway. You know, shoot, Kevin Mendering, we had a podcast with him. Some good stuff. So do check those out if you haven't listened to them before, if you're new or whatever. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks to do some off-season stuff and prepare ourselves for the upcoming 2020 season. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.